Good morning. It is Friday. Parshas Kisisa Tovshin Pei Dalet, and this is a continuation of yesterday's shiur. We were learning this outstanding Maharal in Parshas Truma. Again, that could have been written in Parshas Kisisa because he goes through the three Trumas of Klal Yisrael, the half a shekel that was mandatory for the Adonim, the half a shekel that was mandatory for the Karbonas Tzibur, and then the third Nedava that was mandatory in the sense that everyone has obligated to give, but they could give as much as they want. So there's the volunteerism that's associated with the third, and we talked about, the Maharal explains that when Klal Yisrael sinned in the Chet HaEgel, there were three parts of the individual that were at play. There was his nefesh, the spiritual part of man, the energy of man. There was the guf of man that he did with his kli hamaasa, and then there's his resources, his money, the gold that he gave. And so we went through how the machzis ha-shekel of the Adonim and the machzis ha-shekel for the Korbanos Tzibur, those two machzis ha-shekel, they correspond to the nefesh and to the guf. Now we're going to continue here to show how the third truma, which is up to kol yisrael asher yidven alibo, that relates to the mammon. So in the sheet that you have, it's go down. It's the last word of the line. I think it's six or seven lines down from the top. Eight lines from the top. V'hoya hatruma. Okay.
What pasuk?
Oh, yes,
what pasuk is
it? It's in Truma. It's in pasuk Chaf Hei Beis, I believe. Okay, v'haya hatruma hashlishis neged hamamon. Now the third truma, the third contribution, that corresponds to the role that our money played in the chet. Sha'oso bilvad ein sheva b'nei adam. He says, we learned yesterday, the Maharal says that everyone is equal in terms of everyone has a body and everyone has a machshava, okay? Again, no people look the same and people have different IQs, but everyone has a thinking brain and everyone has a body. And in that, we're all equal. But as far as our resources are concerned, Sha'osa bilvad einu sheva b'vnei adam. That's not equal with all people. Ki liyesh b'nei adam harbe uliyesh ma'at. Some people have a lot of money. Some people have very little. V'tzivza ha-Torah loseis kol isha asher yidven alibo. See, therefore, the Torah asks everyone to give according to the spirit of their heart. Kefi asher yesh lo l'chapora al-mamonam. In other words, the amount that they give will end up being a kapora for the aspect of the chet that was done with their resources. So when they give from the resources for the Trumas HaMishkan, and as we prefaced yesterday, the Maharal does, that the Binyan HaMishkan was going to be a kapora for the chet ha-egel. So we require a kapora with our resources, and that would be evident and that would be achievable through the money that we give each one according to their ability. V'im tomar. So then now the Maharal asks a very, might be an obvious question. Sometimes a person has a lot of money, a person's a billionaire, he's just going to give a little bit of money. How is that going to be representative of his wealth? How is that going to be representative of his part in the Mishkan, of the Chet HaEgel rather? Umishu ani, and sometimes a person is very poor, yitin harbi, he'll give a lot of money. Sometimes a person gives tzedakah way out of proportion to his means. V'lo yiz a shovel of the erech hamamon, it won't be equal to the amount of money that he has. V'hayoroish yitin osu sheish lo mamon rav harbi. It would have been roly for the Torah to mandate a sliding scale, that a person that has a lot of money should give. A person that has a lot of money should give a lot of money for the Mishkan. V'osu sheish lo ma'at, a person who is of little means, ma'at, he can give a little, sliding scale. So l'chor, that would have made sense, right? In other words, if at the end of the day a person's monetary means, right, is needed to create a kapara on him in terms of what he used for the how he spent his money for the eagle. So in other words, so let that be commensurate to what he's worth. So the Maral says something very interesting here, and this is a very nice machshava and hashkafa. Ki ein ha'inyan kein. It's not so. Ki oisin sheyesh lam harbe. A person who is very wealthy, but vehem ra ayin, but they're very stingy and they're greedy, and veinayim tsar litain, right? And they're very niggardly, as the word goes, and towards others. Ein ashir b'mamon, they're not wealthy. Wealth is not measured by what you have. Wealth is measured by your attitude and how you spend your money. Aval ha'asher hu sheyesh lo ayin tov v'lev tov. Asher is a person who has a good heart and a good eye. Ki hara ayin hu chaser. A person who has a narrow eye, he only gives begrudgingly. He really doesn't have. He might be a billionaire. He may own, Warren Buffett, all the stocks in the world. But if he doesn't give that money away, he's a tsar ayin, he's not wealthy. A person who's he lives hand to hand, from paycheck to paycheck, but yet he gives what he can to his tzedakah, zehu asher, he is truly wealthy. Because there's a lot of people that give and are mashpia to other people. And that's why it's because of the riboy that he has. Okay, we'll skip on that. But like Chazal say in the Mishnah, so this is not just like who is rich, a person of Samech Vachelko. Right? It doesn't mean if you're happy with what you have, if you're happy with, it's an attitude. He explains it. Usher means it has nothing to do with what you have. It's how you spend your money. It means if you're Samech Bechelko, so it doesn't bother you to give money to other people because you have enough. I have enough. What do I need more? That's the pshat. Ezel Usher, if I'm Samech Bechelko, so I don't feel that if I write a check, it's going to detract from the money that I'm going to need. I have what I know what I need. I know I can get by this month. I don't need more. I'm Samech Bechelko means I feel fulfilled in what I have right now in my wallet, and therefore I could share it with you. You should give truma according to the generosity of heart. That's called you're giving according to your wealth. The barometer is if you're wealthy is how much you give away. If you are what we call wealthy, money in the bank, but you have a chesar and ayin, ain ze usher, you are not an usher. You're giving a little. It's called that you're not wealthy. He says, and therefore, and then he just ends up. Because all of these three contributions that we talked about achieve a kapora for various aspects of how your person was mishtatef in the egel, the machshava, the kli hamasa, the body, and your mamon, ve'ena achas b'loshnei, one does not operate without the other. Nichtvin kuliyachad. That's why all three tumas were written together in this parsha and in the parsha of tuma. So the last point that the Maral is making is that the Torah dafka says to the person, give according to nidvas lev, because I, says the Rebbeinu Shlomo, so to speak, I cannot mandate how much you give based on your wealth, because it does not have to do with what your objective wealth is. It's very subjective. You will define if you're an usher. Usher, right? Everyone has to give something, right? By machzis hashekel, there is a set amount. Everyone is equal. Every yid in klaisel is equal in terms of machshava and in body. But as far as my mammon and my attitude towards my mammon, Hashem is saying, you know what? You will decide if you're the usher. You will decide if you're the ani. How? By how much you give. It's a tremendous hashkafa. My uncle Reb Nata in the Kiryas Sada, he writes that, you know, Yaakov Avinu, when he davened and when he had his nevuah, so he says, Elokim imadi ushmarani, if Hashem will be with me and he will watch me on my way, v'nosan li, what will he give me? Lechem lechol u'beged lilbosh, bread to eat and a beged to wear. He's asking the very minimum. Yaakov was not asking for ashirus. He says, in fact, we don't ask for ashirus in the classical sense of what wealth means. We daven every benching Rosh Chodesh. What do we say? Chaim shel this, Chaim shel Osher v'chavet. Say he's medayik. We don't say Hashem, give me wealth. Give me a Chaim shel Osher. It's a life that I will feel wealthy. It's a Chaim shel chavet. In other words, give me a life where I will feel that I'm an Osher. That means I'll have nidvas halev. And I'll feel happy with what I have, and therefore I'll be able to part with others the money. I did find that we do ask for Osher and the Ribbono Shel Olam that we say when we take out the Sefer Torah, you know, by the Yom Nerayim and by the Gimel Regalim. You know, I forget which one, but one of them it says Osher, but not something Osher. But then again, we will translate the Osher in that feeling, not as being objective wealth. We'll translate it as Chaim Shel Osher, or like the way the Maharal's talking about. There's a very interesting, there's a pasuk at the end of a Yishlach that it talks about the kings that they married into each other. And he says, let me find there's a pasuk that calls it the Toldos, the Simna, Ruel, Batsivon. Pardon me for a minute, I'm just trying to find the pasuk. I should have marked it off. See, I'm already missing Rabbi Frank, because he's the Balkare. He's the Balkare, and he would tell me in a second where this pasuk is. He married Bas Mahatva El, Bas Mezahav. He married this king's daughter, he married into a wealthy family. He married his daughter off to the daughter of a person whose name was the daughter of Mezahav. The daughter of, now Mezahav is a name, but Rashi says it's a person that said Mezahav. What is gold? He was so wealthy, right? He was so wealthy that gold didn't, you know, have any chashivas for him because he was so wealthy. You know, it's a so Reb Nata asks in the sefer right there in the same. He says, is there a chiddush that the Torah is telling me that a king married off his daughter to a wealthy person? I mean, that was expected. All of these parshas, all of these psukim are telling me this. So he says it's not the pshat that it's telling us that he's wealthy. It's that he had an attitude. What's gold? Even though he was wealthy, but gold didn't matter to him. Not because he had so much of it, because the Mila, that he was named Mezahav to bring about this point that he was wealthy, yet it didn't affect him at all. He didn't view himself as a wealthy man. That's not what played a role in his life. And that is what played a role in his life or other things other than his money. That's why it's called Mezahav. I know it's here in Vayishlach, and it would have been nice if I can give you the pasuk. Okay.
Rabbi Grimpa, one place that is kind of, in fact, I sing it differently, Hamavdi, after Shabbos, not to Shabbos. You sing Hamavdi?
Okay, so the Vilna Gaon, Dov is asking me a very nice thing, and that is, we say Matzoy Shabbos, Hamavdi, and Hamavdi, and Kedushol, Chatusinu, Hu Yimchol, right? So in that paragraph that we say or sing, many people sing it, so we say Zarenu v'chaspenu yar v'kachol, our zera, our seed, and our money should multiply like sand. So the Vilna Gaon is not goris that. The Vilna Gaon is Zarenu u'schuyosenu yar v'kachol. You fell right into it here. That's right, but you're right. If you say that nusach zareinu v'chaspenu, it wouldn't be like that because you're asking that your money should increase and multiply. The Vilna Gaon says, no, we don't ask that our money should increase, right? It's not our money. Schuyosenu. Oh, if you want a schus to support Torah, then of course the Rabbanu Shlomo will give you the schuyos. He'll give you the money that you need. But we're looking for the goal. We're not looking right. The money is only a means towards an end, right? But it's not the end itself. So if you ask for kaspenu, you can spend it. You can go to Panama. You can go to Panama, you know. Somebody just came back from another shul. I saw them yesterday. He says, Rabbi, I just came back from Panama. You know, great, 37 restaurants there. It's a great place, this and that. You know, beautiful place and this and that. I said, fine. I said, do me a favor. Call the president of my shul. Tell him that you just saw your rabbi. And he looks like he needs a vacation. And tell him to send the rabbi to Panama. So that's okay. So, I mean, if you want to spend the rest of your life going to Panama all day, that's fine. But schuyosenu means give me the schuya, so give me the money so I have that ability. Okay, so I think that now I want to say something here, because before we get to the end, Brian, don't worry about it. You're not gonna get that call. It'll have to go through three board meetings. What?
I just didn't understand how this Momo understanding completed the last, yesterday we said half and half were the gay room, right? And five, the gay. And then
20
gay.
No, that doesn't. The S rim gayra, right, are only evident in the masses of the two other masses shekels, the machshava and the guf, what comprises man, not his money, what comprises the person himself. That's the various physical parts of the person and the spiritual part of person. That is machshava and guf. The mammon has nothing to do with the S rim gayra. That's aside. I just wanted to say something, and after the shir yesterday, so Yochanan came over to me and he made a point that I had prepared to say. So I'm going to say this over in not only my name but Yochanan's name as well. I think it's a beautiful tzushtel. The Maral is saying that there's three aspects of man that participated in the Cheta Ego, which is Avodah Zarah, right? Which is the downfall of Klal Yisrael. We're still paying for it. Beyond Pakti Fakarati. In other words, we're still paying for it today, as Chazal tell us, whenever there's Averes and we get punished, there's a little trace of the punishment of the Egel. What do we say? What's our basis for Avos Hashem, Avodas Hashem? Vahaftas Hashem Lakecha, B'chol Levavcha, B'chol Nafshecha, B'chol Meitecha, Pasuk Ebetzchadet. Look at Rashi. What does B'chol Levavcha mean? But Dover Acher, the second says, "B'chol avavcha shelo yelibcha cholok al hamakom." Your heart should not be cholok, should not be separate from Hashem. Right? In other words, that to me, that corresponds to the first part that the Maharal was talking about: a person's heart, his mind, his thought process. Right? Participated in the Egel. So b'chol avavcha, you should love Hashem with all your lev, with all your machshava. Uvachol nafshecha, what's nafshecha? So according to the Maral, what participated in the Cheta Egel? A person's physical body. Nafshecha, afilu hu notelus nafshecha. Even if a person's going to take your physical body, a person's going to say, bow down to the idol, I'll kill you. So you have to give up your physical body. That corresponds to me, right, to that second aspect that participated in the Cheta Egel. And number three, what is the third that we learned about today? Your resources, your money. So to me, it seems that the mandate to love the Ribbono Shel Olam, which is the Yesod, right? This is what we say every day, are the three aspects of the human being that our minds, our hearts, our physical body, and our resources. And that corresponds to what the Maral is saying, are the three aspects of man that participated in the Egel and for what we need a Kapora. It seems to me that perhaps, Bisman Hazeh, right? We don't have the Masa Shekel per se, but we can always work on those aspects of our person, right? The various three levels of machshava, maisa, and modecha, to be masakin that, and ultimately we will be zeichet to be avanim of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Thanks for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everyone.